Genesis 42, 1 to 6. When Jacob learned that there was grain for sale in Egypt, he said to his sons, "Why do you look at one another?" And he said, "Behold, I have heard that there is grain for sale in Egypt. Go down and buy grain for us there, that we may live and not die." So 10 of Joseph's brothers went down to buy grain in Egypt. But Jacob did not send Benjamin, Joseph's brother, with his brothers, for he feared that harm might happen to him. Thus the sons of Israel came to buy among the others who came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. Now Joseph was governor over the land. He was the one who sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brothers came and bowed themselves before him with their faces to the ground. This is God's word. And Dan, we invite you to bring the word of God to us this morning.
Thanks, Rod. Wow, Joseph's brothers bowed down. Thanks, brother. The story has come full circle, and we're going to just jump into that a little bit today, but let me welcome everyone. I think we need to sing happy birthday to our birthday girl, though. 80 years old? Can someone start me on the right note, maybe, Lisa? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Lorraine. Happy birthday to you. Yes. Well, welcome to the balcony dwellers. Glad you're here. We're working on the zip line. If you have any, controversial correction for me, you can zip line in and we can fix that. And it's also nice to see our bottom dwellers. Thank you for being here down here with me. We have some visitors. Great to see new faces and some old friends too. So Jim and Nancy, we have a new tradition that if you're visiting or you're new, just after communion, you get to do a karaoke song, as long as it's from the 80s, okay? And it's dancey. So we'll just let you consider that while we're getting into the service. Well, in the summer, I had the privilege of golfing with Bob and Gail Greenwood, and as you mentioned, as mentioned earlier, this church has a great way of bringing humility into your life. The Bible says humility and the fear of the Lord bring wealth, honor, and life. There he is. Hey, Mark, we're talking about humility. You mentioned it earlier. This church has a way of just correcting you. So humility and the fear of the Lord bring wealth, honor, and life. So I decide to play golf with Bob and Gail and their multiple grandchildren. And obviously, I'm not going to say their age, but they're a lot older than me. And we get up to the first tee, and I find out real quickly that Gail's got some game, and we get clobbered by this lovely lady. So months go by, and it's bowling day. And I'm like, okay. I walk in, there's Bob and Gail, and I'm thinking, a chance to redeem myself. It's bowling time. But Bob's not playing. Kind of scratching my head. Bob's just sitting on standby, and he just looks at me, and I go, how's Gail's bowling game? Bob kind of shakes his head, looks at me, and he goes, well, she's got her own shoes. So I got crushed again. Thanks, Gail, for the lesson in humility once again. Appreciate that. Joseph is walking through his life and learning those lessons. He starts in a comfortable pasture as a shepherd with dad, with family, with comforts, and it's almost like the Lord of the Rings Shire. It's comfortable. It's safe. It's no hunger, no want. We like to be there, you and I. It's wonderful to live in the Shire. But there's a Mordor out there that needs some attention to. And you can go to Mordor, or God can send you there. So Joseph, in his pasture, what I call the thin space, Joseph is quietly cultivating the way he hears from God. I don't know where your thin space is, your place of pasture and quiet. We call it solitude, simplicity, and tranquility, but you got to have it. And of course, in the middle of that, he actually hears from God. And God says, you're going to be in a leadership position one day. And he gives him the word. It's fulfilled in our passage today, but there's a really long time gap between that word and that fulfillment. I love hearing from God. I just really wrestle with the pain of fulfilling that word. Joseph hears from God very clearly, and he gets excited like any young person would. And just a little FYI, if God speaks to you and it involves being in leadership over other people that are in your family, you might not want to lead with that at the next dinner table. Just young people, just in case, you don't want to lead with that. So he does. The brothers get jealous. He rubs it in by telling them about the two dreams. And as we're learning, the dreams in the Genesis record come in twos. And when they come in twos, it means God is being very serious. I'm going to fulfill these. And they come in these little couplets. It's really neat how the narrative rolls. So he tells them twice. They get upset. And he goes from the pasture to the pit. And you all know what those moments are like when God takes you from total comfort to absolute discomfort, pain, loneliness. And you say, like the disciples in the boat, when the storm comes, Lord Jesus, do you really care? And we've been there. We've all been there. Some people might be there right now asking that question. God, are you remembering me? Well, my buddy John asked that we would sing a song this week called The Old Rugged Cross. I cherish the old rugged cross where my trophies at last I lay down. And Christianity has a cross. And it's uncomfortable and it's painful, but it's what God used to save the world. And he'll use your darkest moments to reveal himself to you. But resurrection day is on its way. Therefore, God exalted him, Jesus, to the highest place, gave him the name that is above every name, that in the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, in heaven, on earth, under the earth, to the glory of God the Father. Joseph now is in the position of authority. And if we look at the life of Joseph, looks a lot like Jesus. Goes through family pain, goes through the pain of other people who he doesn't know hurting him, gets confronted with sin, and what does he do? He runs. He gets persecuted, and he goes through pain for doing good. And it always begs the question, when you look at a life like Joseph's, from the pasture to the pit, to the palace, to the prison, where he always does good, now back to the palace, Joseph understands that the Lord is with him. Romans says he will work everything together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Paul says in Philippians, be confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion to the day of Christ Jesus. He begins it, he carries it on, he completes it. And one of my dear mentors said, if he begins it and he carries it on, he completes it, where do you come in? He said, you don't. That's where you go out and you allow him to be God in you and fulfill his purpose. Joseph understands that, but today I want to get intensely practical. How does he know? Young people today, it's kind of, this is youth group Sunday, guys. I'm going to go youth group Sunday sermon if you don't mind. When I'm usually preaching here, it's exegetical teaching. We go through a passage verse by verse, word by word, expound to some of the Greek and the Hebrew. Today we're going to do a topic because that comes up too. And preaching can be divided like a meal. Dessert, drink, main course. Today you're going to give you some appies. And I gave you a little handout so you can take your little appies home and snack on them all week, okay? There's one for every day of the week. And we're going to ask the question, young people, And those who feel young and want to be young again like me, what is the will of God? How does Joseph walk in this perfect will of God? Romans also says in the Old King James Version, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, I appeal to you by the mercies of God, present your body as a living sacrifice. It's a bit of an oxymoron, like jumbo shrimp, or some people say military intelligence, or my favorite oxymoron, people pick on me for loving it, but they say country music. I love country music, by the way. So jumbo shrimp, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice. That sounds like a bit of an oxymoron, a living sacrifice. But that's how you prove God's good, perfect, and pleasing will. And if you look at Joseph's life, he's been doing it the whole time. And if I ask you the question, what is God's will for you? I wonder what your answer would be right now, today, this moment. Where do I work? Where do I live? Who should I marry? Should I take that opportunity? Should I say yes to this? Should I say no to that? It's interesting how our lives are a composite of saying yes and no to certain things. And when you look at Joseph, there's this, I would call it a soundtrack running through his life. I don't know what the soundtrack of your life is, but there's an old song from the 70s that I really like, and it's almost like Joseph is discovering this song in real time, like his grandfather Abraham. In the stars, his handiwork I see, says the old song. On the wind, he speaks with majesty. Though he rules over land and sea, what's that to me? I will celebrate nativity, for it has a place in history. Sure, he came to set his people free, but what is that to me? Till by faith, suffering, the dark places. Till by faith I met him face to face, and I felt the wonder of his grace. Then I knew that he was more than just a God who didn't care. Finish the statement, old 70s friends, who lived a way up there, and now Joseph is feeling, now he walks beside me day by day, ever watching o'er me lest I stray. Helping me to find the narrow way. Now, he's everything to me. Is that your experience in Christianity? He's everything. He's everything. Joseph is understanding it. And our first will of God tenet, I'm going to read from 2 Peter, is that everyone come into a relationship with him. That's number one. You want to know what the will of God is for your life and mine and the world? Is that everyone would be in a relationship with him. Joseph now is in control of the food, the politics, and the land. Like Jesus, he's in control. And he has the opportunity to bring everybody into a relationship with him. The first part of God's will is that you be saved. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is patient. He doesn't want anyone to perish, but that all should reach repentance. Timothy 2, this is good and pleasing in the sight of God, who desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Ezekiel, I desire the death of no one. What is the work of God, Jesus says? To believe in Jesus, whom he has sent. God wants people to be in a friendship with him. God wants you to introduce people to himself. It's a pretty exciting concept to know that God actually wants you here in a relationship with him and others as well. So you don't have to sweat. You don't have to put pressure on yourself. You just be you and let God bring people into your midst. We had a wonderful old speaker at a conference I was at a few weeks ago who was part of the Billy Graham Evangelical Crusade, and his job was to mobilize 20,000 people to help with evangelism and follow-up. He's seen thousands of people come to Christ. And you know what he said? He would put all of that aside, and he spoke to us as up-and-coming pastors. He said, all I want is on that great day for one person to run out of the crowd and say, thank you. Thank you for inviting me here. Thank you for inviting me. God wants people to be saved, and all you need to do is spend the time you have loving people, and he'll draw them to himself. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Pressure's off. Be yourself. Watch God do the work. Joseph, in front of Pharaoh, was spoken to, and Joseph's boss at the time says, I have heard that you can interpret. And when that little phrase heard comes up, it's the Shema. So if God's desire is for you to be in a relationship with him, the quality of the relationship is outlined in what's called the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. And Jesus adds, love your neighbor as yourself, if you want to know what that looks like. And the intimacy and the friendship we have with God is the demonstration of what a Christian is. God doesn't have favorites, but he does have intimates. And you can get closer to God day by day, like any friendship, by spending time. The Shema, Deuteronomy 6. And then Jesus follows up in Matthew. I was a stressed out little teenager wondering who I was going to marry. Oh, man. Remember those days? Maybe some of you are still thinking about those days. And I had an old mentor, and I knocked on his door late at night, and he was a real matter-of-fact military guy. Took down a Nazi stronghold in World War II. He's a real, real neat guy, and had his finger shot off halfway. So he's working on something really important, and I'm self-absorbed and wondering if this is the girl I should be going out with. I knock on his door, and he comes up. And I said, Major Thomas, I'm just concerned there's a girl here. And, you know, he cuts me off halfway through. Remember those days when people just give you an answer to your problem and not ask a bunch of questions and try and unpack all of your inner secrets? No, no, he just said, listen. He talked like that. He said, Psalm 34, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. You are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works that he prepared in advance for you to do. Delight yourself in the Lord. Your want-tos, your desires will be his. Understand you're created in his image. Go do good works that he prepared in advance. And close the door. I'm like, thanks for the cup of tea, mate. I was hoping for a little bit more, but he was right. Christianity isn't something you grind out. I hope it's not a drudgery for you to come and be with God's people and serve and love. Where is Linda Packle? She looks pretty happy in that kitchen. She gets a bit irritated sometimes when things don't go well. But that woman delights to be in the kitchen, and praise God for Linda, because I delight in eating that food. That's our expression. I hope coming here isn't a drudgery to be with all these people. It should be a delight. And when it's a delight, and you love Jesus so much, you can just tell he is working all things together for good. You know what? People want to be part of that. That marriage course is unbelievable. What an experience to sit down, tea light, with my wife, look her in the eye, and just ask questions I would never think about asking. It's really good. I even get the link. Lisa sneaks me the link to the IF conference. I get to go to the ladies' conference, which I love. Right? I'm a fly on the wall online, and that's even cool if you want to get the link to that thing. It's a delight. I like learning about how different people express their relationship with God. You need to be saved. You need to be close to Jesus. Point number two is sanctification. Tough word. Thessalonians 4. For you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus. This is the will of God. You ready? This is the will of God, Philippians 4, 2, and 3, that you be sanctified. Talked about this a few weeks ago. The concept of sanctification is an old Hebrew word meaning kodesh, to cut or to separate. The vessels in the temple were separated. This is Rod's mic. It's still on, Rod. This is separated for Rod to use, not to me to breathe on. Vessels. This, it's separate. It's cut. It's set apart. And when you become a Christian, you are cut and separated from the masses, as it were, to be holy unto the Lord, and then, of course, to go back into the masses and show them what Jesus looks like. That's holiness. That's sanctification. It is the process of being made holy, and God declares you, when you become a Christian, holy in a moment, and then the rest of your life you grow in your set apartness and your sanctification. Don't sweat it. Trust God to conform you into his image. It takes a long time. Joseph does not end up in Egypt ruling the greatest nation in history, for it will last for 1,300 years. That's quite a responsibility. He gets it after a long time in the pasture, a long time in the pit, and understanding how the palace rolls. Amazing. Sanctification. Leviticus 20, consecrate yourselves and be holy, set apart, because I, Yahweh, am the Lord your God. Obey my commands and follow them, because it's me, God, who makes you holy. Isn't that great? You're part of the family. Many of you have children. You've taught them to understand how your family rolls and to grow in the likeness of your family. God's a good dad. Hang in there. The Latin phrase, imago Dei, created in the image of Christ. You and I are image bearers of God. Don't forget that, because the people that you see that may come to our church are image bearers too, and he may not have sanctified them just perfectly yet. I have one of those illustrations that's going to make everybody a little uncomfortable, but you need to hear it. I needed to hear it. A friend of mine in Toronto is planting a church. Young lady comes to Christ. She's incredibly excited. She wants to hear the sermon, but she's got the 12 o'clock shift that day at a little restaurant. Censor this online, please. That's called Hooters. That's where she works. She's not understanding Christian culture. She got saved because someone loved her and talked to her on the street corner while she was busy doing what. And she comes to church really excited in the orange shorts and the white pink. Where's Bruce? Where are you, Bruce? Where's my Bruce hand? Hilarious. No? Well, can you imagine handing the bulletin to that person and saying, oh, here's the message of the day? Right? We get shocked when God sends people that make us uncomfortable, don't we? Whoa, you need to look a certain way and dress a certain way and talk a certain way. Then you can be part of our little... It's not how it works, gang. It's not how it works. You come as you are. You invite people here, they might come and it might be uncomfortable, but let them come. I love the phrase, come as you are, but don't stay there. We all want to change. I need to change every day. We all want to change. Sometimes that happens. Michael Corrin is one of my favorite writers, thinks very different than me. It's important to read outside. And Michael Corrin tells a story of a homeless friend he met on the street one day, which was really shocking to him because he's a syndicated columnist, big money guy in Toronto, Bay Street. And while he's on Bay Street, he walks out and there's a pile of garbage. And he hears some rustling. He thinks it's a raccoon or an animal. And it's a person, and they come out of the garbage, and their jeans are ripped, and they're dirty, and they smell unkept completely, like Joseph in the prison. And Michael says, would you like a meal? Can I get you something? And the guy says, sheepishly, and they walk into the little variety store that Michael frequents, and the girl at the desk, who knows him well and knows who he is and knows his status and sees the suit, and she kind of winces a bit. And while she does that, the aroma in the room is just filled with the stench of this guy, and he urinates his pants. And this girl looks at Michael Corrin and says, is he with you? And Michael Corrin, without batting an eyelash, says, yes, he's with me. And if you could take a good look into your heart sometimes and just see what's in there, you'll be very happy that Jesus, the King of Kings, the rule says to you and me, yeah, they're with me. And you come into the presence of God one day, clothed in the righteousness, they're with me. We want to do that for people. Yeah. They're part of our family. Point three. It's going to get tough if you love Jesus. And Joseph finds out that following God and following his will and knowing his purpose and getting responsibility comes with a price. First Peter, it is better if it's God's will to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. Joseph suffers his whole life for making the right decisions. When he faces Potiphar's wife, who says, I want you to sleep with me, they don't have a lengthy conversation about where the lines of sexuality lie. She's married. He's not. He looks at her and he says, I will not do this wicked thing and sin against God. And then the next time, she's persistent, grabs the coat, and he runs. I was brought up in the generation that when it came to sexual sin, run. Run. Chuck Swindoll tells a great story of being at a conference and two young ladies all dolled up working on the street come up to him and say, hey, sweetie, what floor are you going to? Where's your room? And he says, number six, what's your room? Oh, it's number six. In the elevator, Chuck Swindoll's there and he admits it. He says, there was a moment where this opportunity flashed before his eyes. And then, like a screen down in front of him, was the face of his mom and his aunt. I love old praying Pentecostal women. They don't ask. They just pray for you. You ever had a nice old Pentecostal woman? They don't go up and say, hi, Rob, and have conversations. They just walk up, and that guy needs prayer, clearly. Jesus! And they go. Right? So he sees these ladies that he grew up with in his face saying, run. And he runs. I know that's a bit simplistic, kids, friends, those who may struggle with lust or sexual sin. It's rampant. It's everywhere. Run. Run. Run to Jesus. And you'll suffer, trust me, for to this you've been called. Christ suffered for you, 1 Peter 2, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. 2 Timothy 3, it's in your notes. You can look it up this week. Indeed, those who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus, you'll suffer. You'll be persecuted. Joseph suffers so well. Can you imagine your brothers now are bowing down before you? You remember that day in the pit when those guys had a meal? And you're crying, don't do this to me. Let me out of this pit. Weeping. And they left him there. Now they're bowing down before him. He spent time in the pasture. He spent time in the pit and in the prison. And guess what? Joseph knows the right decision is now I'm in love my enemy territory. It's quite beautiful. Joseph learns this through the pain he goes through. And he's loving his enemy at this time. We're going to unpack how Joseph treats them because Joseph is going to teach him a lesson. He just doesn't let him off the hook right away. It's pretty powerful what he does. But now the dreams are fulfilled and he has every opportunity to get vengeance on those who made him suffer. Do you replay the pain in your past every once in a while and want to repay those who've hurt you? I know I do. Bible says, do not repay evil for evil. Repay evil for good. Do you know forgiving and loving people is part of suffering? When you really want to get back at them and his brothers hurt him, Potiphar's wife hurt him, now he's at the top of the food chain. And because he spent so much time alone, I'm amazed at his character. No cell group. I don't think he did the Alpha Marriage course yet, Lisa, right? So he doesn't have that connection with people. Of course, he wouldn't have been invited to IF, but I'm just joking. But here's a guy who's lived his life alone and hears from God. And he's a beautiful picture of Jesus. Because point four, it's called spirit-filled and fruitful. Let me unpack this, please. Point four, spirit-filled and fruitful. Ephesians 5, this is a big part of the will of God, that you be filled with the Spirit. Isn't that one of those loaded theological questions? Hey, Sue's my Pentecostal pals nodding away. What's it mean to be filled? Right? What's it mean to be filled with the Spirit of God? Let me help you. He makes a play on words here. Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Allow yourself to be carried along by the Spirit. It's a beautiful word in Greek that doesn't mean filling up a glass of water. It's not quantitative. Lord, fill my cup. That's another concept. When it says be filled, it actually says be being filled. And I'm glad Jim and Nancy are here because they'll really get this. It actually, in the New Testament, is always spoken or often spoken of when the wind of the Spirit, fills the sails of a boat. That beautiful picture when the sails tighten and the boat gets filled and then it carries it along. Isn't that great? It's like being you and me being filled with the Spirit is like a controlling wind, and the Spirit of God comes in and it takes you somewhere. Now, we've been taught often that, well, if you're filled with the Spirit, things happen. And they may, but the word here is be controlled. And the juxtaposition with drunkenness is important. Anybody bump into anybody who's been drunk? In Mount Forest? Oh, it's a dry town. I'm sorry. I'll use the illustration somewhere more appropriate. I grew up around people who got drunk. But they're controlled by the wine. And I love a happy drunk. I'll be honest. I'm at a football game, and Tom comes up, and he's just hammered. And I taught him in grade 6, 7, and 8, and Tommy comes up and goes, Mr. Horn, I love you, man. And I'm like, he's controlled by the alcohol, and he thinks I'm like, I don't know, he just loves me. Oh, I love you, man. But have you seen the angry drunk? They can't stop. They're violent. They hurt. The Bible says, don't be that. Let the Spirit of God so fill you that you look like Jesus. And what's the fruit of the Spirit? Filled means controlled by the Spirit. If you want to know if you're controlled by the Spirit, guess what you will grow in? Love. You can say it out loud, Kathy. It's an equal opportunity. Joy. Peace. Help me out. Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. How's that going? I got a bad temper, right? I get mad pretty quick, and I'm like, ooh, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Ooh, I got to control that. And that's how you know. What's his will? You'll be saved. Be made like Jesus. You'll be sanctified, conformed into the image of Christ. Sanctified. You suffer, and your spirit filled, controlled by the Spirit of the living God. And when the fruit shows up, wow, people notice. They want to be part of whatever you're doing. It's pretty cool. This is all the overarching will of God. And when you get stuck into salvation and sanctification and suffering and spirit filled, God will do things in your life that are so specific it'll blow your mind. I used to go to church, big mega church, and they'd have these big powerful speakers come in. And one of them was really, it was important to him. His mission was about being sanctified, about staying away from immorality. This guy was great. So when they booked a nice fat hotel for him in downtown Toronto, he said, we don't do hotels. He would always bring an addict with him. Amazing, amazing minister. Always he would bring an addict. And he brought two that weekend. One was addicted to some internet stuff, and the other was addicted to some drugs. And he said, I can't have these guys on a hotel because their addictions could get the better of them. So I'm going to be preemptively controlled by the Spirit of God. Sometimes when you want to resist temptation, you just don't go there. I'm a bit of a shopper. I like buying new stuff, especially at the Lululemon store. And my wife won't let me go out. My wife won't let me go there unless I have a gift certificate. So she made me buy these pants. I really like them, but that's just a plug for Lulu. Anyways, these guys come over and they say, we're not going near the hotel, but could you have a parishioner in the church that we could stay with? And they, of course, I was a single man then. They said, well, you go stay with Dan. It's 10 o'clock at night, right? Talk about getting squeezed by the church. So these three guys show up. We have a great time. Wonderful time of connection. And then the Lord pokes me on the shoulder. And this is when you're in the will of God, delighting yourself in the Lord. All of a sudden, he'll tell you to do stuff. And I'm not kidding you guys. Like, it was clear as a bell. I had this beautiful snowboard jacket that I got from a buddy. I love this jacket. It was the addition of the Olympics that year, and it's black and it was beautiful, and I loved it. And this guy was freezing. He was from Phoenix, so you can wear my jacket for while you're here. He was pretty jacked, and he put it on, and he looked way better in it than I did. And I went, oh, and you know those feelings when the Lord tells you to do something, you givers know that. That's not your jacket anymore. You got to give that away. And I'm like, I love that jacket. So I was skiing with it one day, and I'm doing all my bindings, and this lady goes by, and she zips in, and she goes, hey, congratulations, man. You guys are awesome. I forgot I had the thing, and she thought I was on the team. And I'm thinking, off you go now. You don't want to see me snowboard. You'll know I was off the team. And it was cute because it meant a lot to me. And she acknowledged it as the Olympic jacket. So that particular day, they left, and I'm still feeling in my gut, you know what, that jacket isn't yours anymore. And good old Joyce Meyer. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I'm listening to a Joyce Meyer podcast. I step into the house about 3 weeks later. Jacket's in the closet. I step in, and you know what she says? And you know that jacket that you got in your closet? You know the Lord's been telling you to give that away, so you need to do that. I'm like, ugh. My heart rate goes to like 300. I'm like, are you kidding me? Specific will of God, right? All of a sudden, you're in the flow. God's going to tell you what to do. I wrapped that jacket up as fast as I could, put it in a box, and sent it. Now, last time I checked, packages don't arrive on a Sunday morning. I got an email. That was Wednesday. On the Sunday morning, this guy sends me a note. Dan, I just need to tell you thanks. My wife and I went away for the weekend, and we were ready to give up our ministry. I'm burnt out. I'm done. We were ready to give up our ministry. And he said, your letter of encouragement and that coat was the confirmation from God himself that we should keep going. A cup of cold water in my name, something simple. Saved, sanctified, set apart, suffer well, filled with the Spirit, controlled by Jesus. Delight yourself in him. He will give you the desires. Your desires will be his. Finally, and this is the best part, celebrate. It's not technically an S, but it sounds like one, so I put her in the alliteration for you literary folk. Serve, sing, celebrate. This is point number 5. 1 Thessalonians. Love this. 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. Look it up. Live by it, friends. Pray continually. Be joyful always. Oof. Be joyful always. Pray, give thanks in all circumstances. That does not say for. Please, that does not say for circumstances. Some circumstances are right from hell, and they're awful. And some of you are in the middle of them right now, and they're hard. It doesn't say give thanks for that. It says give thanks in it. Young people, be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You understand he wants everyone saved. You get stuck into your sanctification. You suffer well. You be filled with the Spirit. You pray continually, be joyful always. Give thanks in all circumstances, like Joseph hung in there. This is the will of God. Now this one gets difficult for parents. Parents, squeeze hard. You're in the operating room. This one's going to be tough to take. But you know what the best part of God's will is? If you plug into those 5 things, do whatever you want. Do whatever you want. We get so complicated. Oh, do I serve on the deacon board? Do I serve in the kitchen? Do I help out with if? Do I help with? Do whatever you want. And if you love Jesus and you're close to him, you'll be in that flow of his will Go have fun. Go have fun. Enjoy your life. Because you're a child of the King. And he's going to actually change your want-tos. Don't burn out. But enjoy your Christian life. It should be an adventure. It should not be a drudgery. It should be a delight. Notice the place is starting to fill up a little bit. Let's thank God for who's here. Let's pray for who's not here. And let's watch God do something beautiful on our behalf while we just enjoy the journey. Lord Jesus, would you just fill our sails? Especially when we're in pain, Lord, and we go through difficult circumstances. Lord, just breathe that wonderful Ruach of God, your Holy Spirit that just comes alongside and just fills our sails again and sends us into a future that might be unknown. But you're working everything together for good because we do love you and we are called according to your purpose and we want to change and we want to be more like you. So thank you, Lord Jesus, today, filling our souls, filling our hearts, giving us joy. And as we celebrate what you've done on Calvary, we'll be sure to give you all the glory and all the praise for everything that goes on here. And thank you for our friends. We love you, Jesus. Amen. To those who tell me what to do, because I need to be told what to do, is it communion time or is there a song first? Song, then communion? Thanks.